Well, Paul began the church at Ephesus in a very unique way. Very interesting. We're learning about this today in Corinth yesterday, Ephesus today. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. My name is Rod Hembry.
I'm Janice.
And this is Bible Discovery. We are discovering the Bible, and we're joining you today. It's good to have you on the internet, if you're watching on the phone or wherever you're watching. Great to have you with us as we study this. This is Acts chapter 19. We're going to study it in about 2 minutes, so stay there. Corey and Ryan are here. Corey?
In Acts 21, Paul is arrested in the Jerusalem temple and taken into custody by Roman soldiers. We're going to talk about where they took him. Ryan?
Well, that's very similar. I'm going to be talking about that same situation. They thought that he was a different guy altogether. We're going to talk about that.
Yeah, that's very interesting. Now, Janice, what are you doing?
Today, keep on.
All right. Stay tuned, because if you don't have a Bible guide, we'll tell you how you can get one. But let's look in the Bible and listen to the Bible.
Acts 19:1-10. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" So they said to him, "We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." And he said to them, "Into what then were you baptized?" So they said, "Into John's baptism." Then Paul said, "John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus." When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now the men were about 12 in all. And he went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading concerning the things of the kingdom. But when some were hardened and did not believe, but spoke evil of the way before the multitude, he departed from them and withdrew the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. And this continued for 2 years, so that all who dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. Acts chapter 19, verses 1 through 10.
You know, Paul spent 2 years in Ephesus. That is incredible when you stop thinking about it, because the only other place he spent that kind of time was in Corinth, a year and a half. And another place which Paul had established a well-grounded church was in the ancient city of Ephesus. He spent 2 years there. After teaching for 3 months in the synagogue, some grew hardened against Paul's message and began to speak lies about the people of the way. So Paul withdrew himself and the disciples, and he began to establish his daily teachings of the Lord in the school of Tyrannus. Now, Tyrannus was either the owner or prominent philosopher associated with the place. But nevertheless, some traditions explain that Paul spoke there from, get this, 11 o'clock in the morning until 4 in the afternoon daily. That's a long time, 5 hours. Typically, at this time of day, people were resting from work. And so those who wanted to hear about what Paul was saying could come in and listen. This is how the church at Ephesus was established. Paul would later write to the church of Ephesus after he left, which is now called the Book of Ephesians. And this was part of Paul's journey throughout the Roman world to establish the teaching and the way of the Lord Jesus Christ to make it relevant to them today, so they could equate themselves with living life, because following Jesus Christ was different than typical life. It still is, if we stop and we think about it. Now, today, we're going to focus on, as we read through the scripture, Acts 19 to 22, we're going to focus on chapter 19. There are 10 verses here. And we're going to take our mind and apply to these 10 verses. We're going to search and seek God. So take your Bible guide and tune with me, turn with me to this. This is actually in the Bible guide. It's page 30, actually page 30, if you can imagine that, in the Bible guide. If you don't have one, write to us or call us, and we will send you one. Or you can go to BibleDiscoveryTV.com, click on it, and it will take you to a page where you can download it exactly how we printed it. So it's wonderful. Anyway, the Bible is the most important book of all. Take your Bible. Now we're going to pray. Father, I pray today that you would help us to hear what you're saying. As Paul teaches to Ephesians, help us to hear and understand how you talk to him. Now, there are 3 points, Lord, that we have isolated here. There's many more, but we've highlighted 3 points. Help us to teach what your Holy Spirit says. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. And we said together, amen. Now, with that in mind, let's turn our minds towards Ephesians chapter 19. And here is what the Bible says. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth, that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, and finding some disciples, he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" So they said to him, "We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." And he said to them, "Into what then were you baptized?" So they said, "Well, into John's baptism." That's amazing. And then Paul said, "John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him." That is, believe on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is interesting. Paul began the church in Ephesus by baptizing disciples in the name of the Lord Jesus. The true church of God is founded on the teaching. It's founded on the life of the Lord Jesus Christ exclusively. Exclusively. It's not founded on this idea or that pop psychology idea or this self-help book. It's founded on the Bible. And people will call me old-fashioned for saying this, but it's not old-fashioned. There is no old-fashioned. There's lies and truth. This tells the truth, and the lies are out there. So my point is that we stay close to the Word of God because it is the exclusive truth of God. We learn from it. We teach His Word to our spirits by learning that. That's what pastors are to do in churches, and that's what we do as we read it and listen to it. Now, with that in mind, we go on to the next one, which says this, "And when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues, and they prophesied." Now, the men were about 12 in all. Now, what does this mean? The Holy Spirit came as they began to worship Jesus Christ. I want to say that again. The Holy Spirit came as they began to worship and confess to Jesus Christ. You see, God's Holy Spirit is the presence of the Lord, and it is the difference between man-made religion and God. The difference between, now there is a difference. Today's world, there's a lot of stuff going on. People are, miracles here, and here's a miracle, there's a miracle, everywhere's a miracle. But Jesus Christ is the center of what I believe. God the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, He is the God whom I believe in. One God in three persons. Jesus Christ leads me. His Holy Spirit guides me. And I come to the Father who is in heaven. Holy is His name. That's the truth. That's just the obvious. Now, let's go to the last part of this. Well, then He said this, "And He went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading concerning the things of the kingdom of God. But when some were hardened and did not believe, but spoke evil of the way before the multitude, He departed from them and withdrew the disciples reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. Now, and this continued for 2 years, so that all who dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. Now, this is important. Remember, when Paul was rejected by the Jews, the Lord expanded his ministry to everyone. When Paul was rejected by the Jews, the Lord expanded his ministry to everyone. You see, the kingdom of God involves every culture and people all over the world. What I'm trying to say is this. The kingdom of God is not identified with one culture. It's not identified with the West. It's not identified with the East. It's not identified with the Middle East. Jesus Christ was Jewish. And in Israel, he grew up and he lived his life. And he decided that he would give his life for our sins and rose from the dead. So, beloved, we understand that Jesus Christ is for everybody, you and me, no matter what culture we're in. That's the time in which we live. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, Jesus, forgive me of my sin. I believe that you died on the cross and you rose again on the third day. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, so today we're reading, of course, Acts chapters 19 to 22. And in Acts 21, Paul is actually arrested by the Romans, but they realize that they get the wrong guy. And he says here, "Are you not the Egyptian then who recently stirred up a revolt and led the 4,000 men of the assassins out into the wilderness?" He was asking Paul if he was this Egyptian fellow. And of course, he wasn't. But my curiosity kind of got to me, and I started to wonder, well, who was this Egyptian guy? Well, of course, Acts doesn't tell us, but the Jewish historian Josephus does. Take a look.
When Paul the Apostle expressed his desire to return to Jerusalem as part of his third missionary journey, his friends and companions cried and pleaded with him not to return there for fear of his life. In fact, even a prophet named Agabus came to Paul from Judea and took the apostle's belt, tied his own hands and feet with it, and said, "The Holy Spirit says, in this way the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem will bind the owner of this belt and will hand him over to the Gentiles." Yet despite even this illustrative warning, Paul could not and would not be dissuaded. "Why are you weeping and breaking my heart?" he replied. "I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." So onward to Jerusalem he went, and as predicted, Paul was seized and handed over to Rome. But interestingly, the Roman commander did not know who he had in custody. "Aren't you the Egyptian who started a revolt and led 4,000 terrorists out into the wilderness some time ago?" Although the Bible gives no further detail regarding this Egyptian terrorist, the Jewish historian Josephus, in his Antiquities of the Jews, documents this particular event, as well as the overall state of turmoil the nation was in. "Now, as for the affairs of the Jews," says Josephus, "they grew worse and worse continually, for the country was again filled with robbers and impostors, who deluded the multitude. These works that were done by the robbers filled the city with all sorts of impiety, and now these impostors and deceivers persuaded the multitude to follow them into the wilderness, and pretended that they would exhibit manifest wonders and signs that should be performed by the providence of God. Moreover, there came out of Egypt about this time to Jerusalem one that said he was a prophet, and advised the multitude of the common people to go along with him to the Mount of Olives, as it was called, which lay over against the city, and at the distance of 5 furlongs. He said further that he would show them from hence how at his command the walls of Jerusalem would fall down, and he promised them that he would procure them an entrance into the city through those walls when they were fallen down. Now when Felix was informed of these things, he ordered his soldiers to take their weapons and came against them with a great number of horsemen and footmen from Jerusalem and attacked the Egyptian and the people that were with him. He also slew 400 of them and took 200 alive. But the Egyptian himself escaped out of the fight, but did not appear any more. So it was this particular Egyptian impostor for whom Paul was misidentified. However, as Paul informed the Roman commander, "I am a Jew from Tarsus in Cilicia, a citizen of no ordinary city." Thus, in stark contrast to these all too common robbers and impostors, Paul was an apostle of light, preaching the truth of the living Lord Jesus Christ.
So there's a big difference between Paul and this Egyptian. Paul was not an impostor. He wasn't preaching empty promises or misleading people. He was preaching Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. That's a huge difference.
Now, let me ask you this question, because this is important. If somebody wants to learn about the traditions of the church and all of that, or I should say the traditions of the Jews, and they wanted to find Josephus, how would they find him? Would they go on Amazon.com?
Well, the easiest way is just to go online nowadays, right? I mean, it's all over the place.
But some of the stuff that he did was fascinating. And he wrote some very, for the Jewish people, some very controversial material about Jesus. And some people say, well, he didn't write that. Other people say he did. But it's just really interesting. Yeah. It's not scripture, but it's interesting.
There's some new scholarly articles that have just come out on dissecting which parts of the Josephus passages on Christ they believe to be accurate and which ones not. And I think a lot of skeptics are surprised at how much does appear to be authentic.
That's fascinating.
Yeah, you can find those online too.
Very good. Corey, you're up.
All right. Well, I think, you know, Ryan, your segment speaks to the chaos of this moment that we're reading here in Acts chapter 21, where, you know, the crowd is incensed and you get this feeling of overwhelming chaos and mob mentality that's going on, because the crowd is just so incensed, and it seems like it's so loud and it's so busy. And the scripture even says that there's so many people tugging and pulling at Paul and trying to get him away from these Roman soldiers that they actually have to carry him, and that seems like a really intense situation. Now, we're told in Acts that Paul is taken away from the people to the place where the Roman military is stationed in the city of Jerusalem. So today we're going to be taking a look at where that was and what the archaeological remains are of that area. The Antonia Fortress in Jerusalem is thought to have been Herod the Great's first massive building project. He would have completed it sometime before 31 BC because he named it after his friend and ally, Mark Antony, who was defeated in battle in 31 BC. After this defeat, Herod had to decisively maneuver to stay on the winning side of the world's shifting politics, and likely would not have named anything after his disgraced friend. The Antonia Fortress was built close to the Temple Mount in Jerusalem and is believed to have incorporated the earlier Baris Fortress built by the Hasmonean rulers. The location of the fortress was just to the northwest of the Temple Mount and served to protect the city from its naturally weak northern perimeter. When Herod constructed the Antonia, he had not yet expanded or rebuilt the Temple Mount, but he surely must have had at least preliminary plans. Herod built the Antonia on a natural outcropping of rock that was higher than the Temple Mount. This fortress would guard the city and the Temple Mount. It was roughly square in shape with a tower at each corner. Its southeastern tower that overlooked the temple was built 20 cubits taller than the other towers, giving a better view of the Temple Mount. According to the first century historian Josephus, the Antonia intersected Herod's renovated Temple Mount, and staircases descending from it led to the north and west covered porticos of the temple. This makes sense because when Herod renovated the temple, he extended the mountain's area to the north, west, and south, closing the gap between the original Temple Mount and the Antonia Fortress. Josephus also tells us that in the first century AD, a cohort of Roman soldiers were permanently stationed in the Antonia.
Its multiple rooms, courtyards, and Roman baths would have easily facilitated them. These details are all very important to students of the Bible because they enable us to identify the Antonia as the place of Paul's Jerusalem imprisonment. Acts chapter 21 records Paul being confronted by an angry mob who were convinced that he had brought a Gentile into the temple. They dragged him out of the temple complex and began to beat him. But the noise of the crowd alerted the Roman troops, who, according to Josephus, lived in the Antonia adjacent to where this mob found Paul. The Roman commander intervened and saved Paul by arresting him. And when he couldn't make sense of the mob's accusations, he ordered Paul taken to the barracks. When they reached the steps, the soldiers had to carry Paul up them because the crowd was violently trying to take him back or kill him. The Roman barracks should historically be seen as the Antonia, and the biblical detail of having to go upstairs to reach them seems to verify this.
So I hope that helps. I always find it really, really handy to have those visuals, that kind of layout of what's going on here so that we can properly understand what's being communicated here in this passage, what Paul's going through, what this interesting soldier is going through, and then this dialogue that they go with. It's just so human. Mm-hmm. And to be able to see the actual places and the remnants of the places where these actions occurred, I think it really does help us understand the challenges that the early church was up against.
And it is fascinating because it's again, it seems as if all of this comes forward, is discovered in a time when it's really intense right now. Everywhere around the world, it's intense. Mm-hmm. And so God is showing himself. Fascinating, Corey. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, Jim.
It's also good for us to consider, and I know, you know, we've talked about this before, that as we're reading the Bible, these are real accounts.
Yes.
These
mm-hmm.
are real people. These are real emotions. And oftentimes, you know, it's easy for us to sit and make judgment on some of the decisions that were made. However, if we were in those same places, and as you rightly mentioned, Rod, our world right now is a place of a lot of unrest and a mm-hmm. lot of accusations flying back and forth, and things are changing, and it's uncomfortable.
Well, and like, think of the bravery that this would have took.
Yes.
Paul's not facing a quiet crowd. He's facing an angry crowd that wants to kill him, mm-hmm. bigger than him, stronger than him, and Roman soldiers that don't have his best intention at heart either. The chaos of that,
yes.
and the bravery that it would have taken. And I think that illuminates why later on in the New Testament, we're going to see Paul asking for prayer to be emboldened to speak the gospel and to speak it effectively.
And it's important because as we think about this in recent times, a gentleman like Charlie Kirk, who is a great guy, is an amazing person, and he was killed. Mm-hmm. And that crowd was, now it was done differently, but that crowd was going after Paul with the same idea. And it's just amazing the spiritual battles that there are.
Yeah,
well, it is incredible.
And oftentimes, and you'll agree, evil comes in and tries to terrorize. Mm-hmm. Terrorizing meaning to be quiet.
Yes.
So that you're afraid then
right.
to speak the truth.
Shut
and
up
it becomes,
and sit there.
Because
yeah.
it becomes easier then to hold it in. Mm-hmm. But God does call us to speak his word. Mm-hmm. And not just to speak his word, but to live his word. Mm-hmm. And my segment today really was just dealing with that in of itself. To keep on. Much like my message was yesterday on Paul, doing your best, he mm-hmm. went into Corinth and did what he did best. He was mm-hmm. called to bear witness to the Jews of Jesus Christ. And then when he was rejected by a large group of them, he moved on and brought his word to the Gentiles. And now he's at Ephesus, and it says here that when Paul had boldly taught in the synagogue over 3 months, that he withdrew from there because some began to slander the way and would not believe. And so once again, he didn't give up. He moved on. He kept on because he had this calling. He knew what the truth was, and he was called by God to bear witness of who Jesus Christ was. So we see then, let's skip down then to verse 10, or actually verse 8. And Paul went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading concerning the things of the kingdom of God. But when some were hardened and did not believe, but spoke evil of the way before the multitude, he departed from them and withdrew the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. Now, all this continued for 2 years. And listen to the impact. The Bible says here, this continued for 2 years, this teaching in Tyrannus, this continued for 2 years so that all who dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. This made a significant impact on the province of Asia. My point today for all of us, be faithful where God has placed you. Be faithful where God has placed you. And God will give you the strength to stand upon his word when you come to him in prayer daily. And when you read your Bible, it is nourishment. It is putting on the armor of God. Read about that. About the armor of God. Put that on every day. Be diligent. Be obedient to God. Get his word in your mind and in your heart and begin to live it and be a living testimony, as Paul was.
Thank you for joining us today and spending the time with us reading the scripture as we go through the Bible. We're into the New Testament now. It's very exciting. One of the things I like to say is we are not professional complainers, so we need to pray. And whatever's going on in our lives, Lord, help me not to complain about evil. I know, Lord, it looks that way. It's easy to say, but Lord, help me not to complain about evil because I look forward to soon you coming and establishing your kingdom on this earth. In the name of Jesus Christ, and we said together, amen.